Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 64, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist! Yeah. Podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Googs, and Sochi Meat. It's Thursday, January 10th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Ow! Werewolves O'Brien. Ow! That's courtesy of Hannah Soltis, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
That's right, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Grays of Our Lives, a.k.a. As the World Burns, a.k.a. All My Children, a.k.a. Guiding Zeit. Thank you to Randy Travis Scott, a.k.a. Crispy Meme Donut, a.k.a. What's the other
Christy
one?
Christy Yamaguchi-Man,
also a.k.a. Fires of or Bombing of Dresden on Reddit for that, a.k.a. Just string together of great soap operas.
Damn.
I was mostly Days of Our Lives, Grays of Our Lives kind of person.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised you didn't go into their social security number. You had them like matched all across all the different media.
Oh yeah, you know, I stalk everything that's written about us.
Yes.
On every platform, because I'm insecure and have too much time.
And I have no idea what anyone is saying about me. If you don't at me, which I suggest you not.
No, and then Anna or Nick will then promptly tell you. I don't know if you see what they're saying about your haircut, dude.
Yeah.
Do you want to address this?
Yeah, no. I do see all the haircut stuff. I search that out. What do they think?
And then we have a meeting where we have to tell Jack how cool his haircut is.
Haircut meeting.
It looks great, dude. I don't know what the... Yeah, it's chill.
Haircut meeting.
Haircut meeting now.
Oh, shit. Jack got a haircut. Oh, no. Well, we're thrilled to have somebody who is a veteran of my haircut meetings from back in our time at Crack. Hilarious writer and comedian, Carmen Angelica.
Hi. Hello. I'm really glad to know that the haircut meetings are continuing.
Yeah. What were they like at Crack?
You know,
Oh.
Yeah, it was weird. He'd be like, tell me my haircut is good, but you have to fight me while you do it.
Right.
And then we'd fight him. And,
right.
You know how it is.
Yeah, yeah. We don't fight as much. Huh. What he does is he puts like a buzz cutter to his hair, goes, I'll fucking do it.
And we're like,
we're like, whoa, no, let's chill. He's like, I'll fucking burn the forest down, man. Okay. Fuck.
Let's calm down. Yeah. Let's take
and
the razor.
Like, no, it looks really cool. Look, you look just like this picture of David Beckham from 1999.
I wish. Anyways, Carmen, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. We're talking about Woodstock 50.
Yeah.
That is a thing that is happening. we're going to talk about collusion, bruh, as Miles wrote the headline.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. Also, we're also going to talk about the president addressing the nation two nights ago and just the idea that he might declare a state of emergency, just the fact that that's being openly discussed as a possibility.
There was Bjork song, too. State of Emergency.
Yeah. Miles is wearing a Bjork sweatshirt today.
Love Bjork. Bjork.
All about the Bjork. And we're also going to talk about some of the talking points, like the idea that a border wall would protect us from the evil scourge of drugs. But first, Carmen, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Okay, I looked it up, and the last thing that I searched on my phone was, what goes with navy blue?
Oh. What is the answer?
The answer is yellow, gray, red, and pink. White.
Everything that's not black.
And then they had black in there. And I was like, this has broken everything that I was taught as a child. But I also realize what I've been taught as a child. I mean, my family was very like function over fashion. They were hippies.
Right.
So like now the fact that I'm trying to be like, okay, I have to like put an outfit together.
Right.
Yeah. I'm getting like teased for it and I don't know the rules. And so I look that up.
They're like, who told you you can't wear a fanny pack with cargo shorts?
But it's so functional. There's so many pockets.
Right. Oh, and how do they carry their asthma medication?
I am told by my wife that I am not allowed to wear black with navy blue, but she is because she like knows how it works.
Yeah.
But like,
how would you fuck it up that she would do better?
I'm sure I'd fuck it up. Like black jeans with like a navy blue sweatshirt or something.
That's
like,
fine.
All right. Talk to her, bro.
Chill. That looks slick. You
Listen,
know what I mean?
And
I'm
sign
learning.
My petition.
Yeah, I will.
Sign my petition for letting me dress myself.
I thought you were about to say permissions. And I was like, nice. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I have heard that. So is there anything that navy blue does not go with?
It didn't say what it didn't go with, but I assume anything that was not on the list was not.
Army green?
Yeah.
Maybe?
I imagine army green. It's just like things that like it looks best with.
Right. But Air Force gold.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. Gold. Like Notre Dame.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Navy
yeah.
gold.
There it is.
My high school.
What is something you think is underrated, Carmen?
I actually think taking walks is underrated. Like not just like walking somewhere to get somewhere, but just like taking a walk.
Mm.
I think. Not like the, you take long walks on the beach, but like getting out of, like I like to take walks when I was pet sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I took walks around your neighborhood.
She's up. Yes. Carmen was watching some of our pets when I was in Japan. So shout out to you, Carmen.
Thank you.
Thank you for walking the neighborhood. What did you think of the neighborhood?
I liked the neighborhood.
Great.
I liked it. There were some hamburger stands, which I enjoyed looking at. Mm-hmm. There were some coffee shops. But yeah, I like just taking a walk. I think it's underrated and it like gets you out of the house and out of your head. And people like I had a friend recently who was like, I was like, hey, let's hang out. Let's get a drink. And she's like, how about we like take a walk. And I was like, oh, this is why we're friends.
You're genius.
Yeah.
So I think walks are underrated and they're free.
Oh, yeah.
That's
what I say. The best broke person date.
Yes.
You're like, yo, let's take a walk.
And it's like, oh, yeah. Okay.
They're like, I just want to get to know your neighborhood.
And I'm like,
and I only have
$5. I don't even care if it's because you're broke. Like, I'm into it. Like, at least put that effort in. Also, I like moving my feet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think
Lacey was also saying this when she just got back from Savannah. She was saying like how underrated walks are too, just in general. Yeah, like just there's something about taking a good walk, you know. Well, LA is also tricky too, because some places are like can be distracting when you walk, because all the traffic and things like that.
Yes,
but if you can find yourself, you know, there's always a little place of
I even just like walk peace. Sometimes I because I'll be, you know, in neighborhoods that I like there's a highway and I can't walk,
right,
so I'll just find like one little place and I'll even just like walk in a little circle.
Wow. Till the cops
like,
come.
Yeah, until the cops come. And then I'm like take a walk with me, and then they start walking.
They're like, no, take a walk with us.
No. And I'm like, great, you know a good place. Let's do this.
Yeah, it's called Central Bookings.
And then we all go for a walk and it's so fun.
many experiments have shown that after or during exercise, even mild exertion, people perform better on tests of memory, attention. It creates new connections between brain cells, staves off the usual withering of brain tissue, and increases the volume of the hippocampus.
I was just about to say I felt less withered in my brain.
Yes.
So I feel
you
good
look
about
less withered in your
Thank
brain,
you.
If I may say so.
I mean, listen, some people are like, did you get work done on your brain?
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Just walks.
I'm just well hydrated and walking.
Oh my God, your brain is glowing.
Stop. I mean, thank you, but stop. Like, but thank you.
What is something you think is overrated?
I would have to say, I think toast is overrated.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I know it's a real, I know.
Holy
I know.
If I had known you were going to come in with this kind of bullshit.
Listen, I'm coming in hot.
Yeah.
I think toast is overrated. And here's my argument for why. Toast has been around for a long time. Don't get me wrong. I love a good toast, especially in a cold morning when you eat
Don't
some
get me wrong.
Toast.
I love toast.
But I think it's overrated. I think restaurants are like charging like $9 for it. And like people are just like
avocado toast you're talking about?
Not just avocado toast, all the toasts. Like people will be like, there are now toasts where it's like, here's a little toasty or like, and they'll like layer, it's essentially an open face sandwich.
Right.
But it's got toast under it. And so people are charging exorbitant amounts. And then people are like talking about how fancy their toasts are. And for a while, I was all about the toast. And now it's getting a little bit like, can we stop acting like we're fancy for
or
toast?
Or if there's like some kind of thing you, like a spread at a restaurant, they'll be like, with fine toast points or whatever.
Right. Toast
and then,
points.
And then when you want more, they're like, oh, that's $5. I'm like, motherfucker, you really? For the fucking toast?
And I think at one point I was all about toast. Like, I think maybe I even came, I love if I came onto the show and I was like, toast is great. That's my underrated thing. But like, now I've changed my mind and that's life and life changes. But toast, I'm done with.
Wow.
I mean, I like it. I'll eat it, but I don't want like I'm tired of like us. We're making it too big of a thing.
Yeah,
yeah. We got to fight big toast.
Quiznos' entire business model was, what if we put it in a toaster?
Right,
and then
it worked for like 7 years.
It
and
worked
then people got hit
for seven
it.
Years, and then Subway was like, "Oh, what if we put it in a toaster?"
I was like, fuck.
Yeah, Quiznos went out of business like the next year.
God damn it!
Right,
they figured us out.
I do agree to a certain extent. It dries the shit out. And like, you know, nothing's better than like a crusty, warm bread that just came out of the oven. And I feel like toast is maybe a poor man's approximation of that.
Oh, just to give it a little heat, some warmth.
Yeah, sometimes.
But not the act of toast. It's the fact that people are like, one single toast under a pile of stuff.
Right,
and
right.
It's like, you, number one, you're cheating yourself with bread.
You're saying toast as like an ingredient to a dish in a restaurant versus the concept of toasting bread.
I think the concept of toasting bread I'm never opposed to because, you know. What?
But don't try and upsell me on the toast.
Exactly. Right. But like if you, and then if it's also acting like it's like such a glamorous thing, I'm like, can we stop like. Like,
yeah.
We can love our toast, but like, let's not be too overdramatic.
Well, that's what the whole, like the new, you know, the high gourmet game is just to add adjectives in front of regular ass words, like toasted bread with cracked black pepper.
Right.
And you're like, you mean bread with pepper.
Right.
And avocado.
You're not putting whole cracked
and you're like,
pepper
sea
up.
Salt. You're like, okay, so you just said bread, salt, and pepper. Okay, forget it.
Yeah. I've been using the grilled cheese method on all sandwiches, just like putting a little butter on it and grilling it in the pan with a little cheese on top. And that shit is good.
Wait, what do you mean the grilled cheese method?
Just like how you prepare grilled cheese in a pan with butter on the outside.
No mayonnaise, man.
Oh, I don't.
That's how you get, that's how you get that gold crust, though.
Right,
that's
right.
The secret people don't realize. I'm serious.
No, I've done it.
Yeah,
I'm
those, like, those grilled cheeses, you put a little mayonnaise on the outside. You don't even taste it, though, because it's all fat anyway.
Right.
It just gives it
it's whatever your preferred method
like
of
sun.
Fat.
Yeah. And love mayonnaise.
Yeah, I've been doing that instead of toasting the bread on my sandwich. So, Carmen, it sounds like you are just a moderate, you know, respect the toast, but don't go overboard. And I'm hardline anti-toast. And you're like, whoa. Don't draw me like, in with your anti-toast
I mean,
rhetoric.
It's okay. I understand the frustration. I'm at that point of frustration with toast. The toasting, the toasting trend.
Yeah.
We'll say.
Also, I love Quiznos. I just remember. I love the thing. They had a prime rib and peppercorn sandwich that I used to get all the fucking time in college. And I probably will have my colon probably looks like a hellscape right now because of it.
Yeah. And I think they went through some tough months there in their last year once Subway figured out the toasting thing. Because I definitely had some low quality Quiznos towards the end.
Yeah, exactly. Like you could tell like
they fell off a cliff.
Yeah. Like you went in, you're like, oh, Quiznos still fine. You're like, oh, has it even gone trickled down to the employees?
Yeah.
It's like nothing matters anymore.
Yeah.
Subway figured us out.
Yeah. So fuck it.
And Carmen, what's a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false?
All right. Well, this is bringing back an oldie for me, but I did a lot of research, so I know that it's a myth. When people are like, if you picking up a penny is like...
good luck?
Not good luck, but like I think it like... or that it's like worth, like that it's worth it. Like picking up a penny is worth the time. And I found out that essentially pennies that we have nowadays are essentially worthless. Mm-hmm. And if we stopped making them, we would actually, like it would save the country money.
Right. Or in change in general, just the penny itself.
Like the penny itself takes more to make, like essentially more to make. I did that whole thing about pennies.
You did.
If you want, you can see it's probably still online. But it's essentially saying like, if we stopped making, because the way we make pennies, it's not, it's like mainly made of zinc now, and originally it was made of copper.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just not worth it.
Unless a wheat penny.
Huh? Unless it's a wheat penny.
Yeah. My grandpa always told me, he's like, you better pick up those wheat pennies.
What are wheat pennies?
That has like the little wheat on the outside.
Well, the older the penny, more it's worth. The older the penny, the more it's worth. I mean, obviously because it's antique, but also because it's made with like valuable products.
Yeah, you can melt that down and make whatever, wiring or whatever you need.
You can make all the wiring you want, and that's why you pick up that penny.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we still have sayings left over like penny pinching and things like that are like smart frugality type things. And in actuality, like that's just a dumb thing. You're wasting your time on something that even if you're saving pennies, you're not going to have enough money to do anything with it.
Yeah. It's just, they're not, they don't make them like they used to, pennies.
Back when America was great.
Oh, no.
Carmen is 87 years old.
Yeah.
I'm just glad they brought me on.
Tell them about those parties you used to have with Elizabeth Cady Stanton.
Well, speaking of things that were awesome back in my day, Woodstock. 50. We're coming up on the 50-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And as an elder millennial, and Miles, you two can remember when the last time we revisited Woodstock as a
culture. The last two times. 94.
I had collapsed those into a single bad experience, 94 and 99.
94 was like fine. You know, okay. Like, 99 was the one where like there was like mad like sex crimes happening and people like vandalizing the fucking trucks and like all the toilets went haywire and like the Washington Post called it a war zone.
Oh my god!
Like,
in their write up of it,
wow.
They described it as a surreal war zone.
Mm-hmm.
Limp Bizkit, they performed. I'm pretty sure Wu-Tang performed at 99 also.
Yeah,
and it was like I think it was also like heavily branded as like Pepsi. Like Pepsi Woodstock, too.
What the original Woodstock was all about.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, you know,
they're bringing it back.
All about Pepsi?
It was not all about Pepsi, but it was all about, it was created by Madison Avenue people.
Generation Next. Woodstock.
So how far along are they?
They're saying it's happening August 16th, 17th, and 18th.
Oh, okay.
It's confirmed.
Are you going to go?
Got it.
The co-creator, Michael Lang, says they have more than 40 performers, including big name headliners who have already signed on. And they say, it's not going to be at their original grounds in Bethel, New York. It'll actually be in Watkins Glen because I guess in the original venue, they built like a 15,000 seat little venue. And they're like, nah, that ain't Woodstock, fam. We need like a gigantic field to do this properly. So it's going to be in Watkins Glen. Like they say they're going to have like hip hop, pop acts, some legacy bands from the original festival.
But they're not telling us who they have signed on. They're just
big
stars. Yeah. Like think about your favorite musician. Like
it's they're there.
That's
so it's a little fire festival-y in sense where I'm like,
I was like, but who?
Who? Oh, like in Wayne's World 2 when he's like lying to get the permit. Like, who's going to be there? And he's like, Aerosmith and whatever. And he's like an old man fashioning a canoe out of a log. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But I think they promise like, look, it's going to have better toilets. There's going to be like a little glamping vibe too, because they have to compete with, you know, the Coachellas of the world. Because if it's going to be like a destination thing, you have to appeal to like affluent millennials or Instagram flexers who don't care about music or just like, I operate on people's FOMO.
If we want to officially kill off the generation of baby boomers, all we have to do is just really revel in the fact that there are better toilets and less mud at this Woodstock and that it's so much more lit than their Woodstock because of how much cleaner it is.
All the Instagram photos are just going to be like, toilets.
Right.
Like, these are ventilated. These aren't cesspits.
Right. Let's talk collusion, Miles.
Let's talk collusion. Because, you know, after all the hoopla and hubbub around the non-Oval Office speech that Trump gave, a lot of weird stuff happened. I think now we're at a point with all the information that came out on Tuesday that collusion is no longer like, you know, this abstract nebulous idea. And we're looking at real, like, factual evidence that people in Trump's orbit and camp were working with Russian officials. So
while they were running his campaign.
Yes. So the biggest one is Paul Manafort's idiotic lawyers. So if you remember, Robert Mueller basically said that Paul Manafort violated his plea agreement because he kept lying. And they're like, yo, actually, this dude should be sentenced. Like, this guy is not cooperating. So I want to tear up his plea agreement. So his lawyers were, they submitted their response to that. And they thought they redacted the sensitive parts. But because, as we've seen with Paul Manafort and like all the shit that's gone down with him, they did not know how to do that. So I think they just highlighted text in black and submitted that. So people who just did select all and copy and paste it into another doc were like, oh, there's all the text.
Right.
And so the biggest things that we learned through this terrible redaction process was that Paul Manafort was sharing polling data with an indicted Russian spy, Konstantin Kalimnik, and asked that Kalimnik would pass that info on to the Russian oligarch and Putin homie Oleg Deripaska, who, if you remember, we also found out Manafort was giving Oleg Deripaska like daily briefings about the campaign for whatever reason, because he had to get, you know, like he had to make up for some swindling he did to him back in Ukraine. And we also learned that Manafort talked a lot about this, quote, peace plan for Ukraine with Kalimnik, which is really just all these peace plans that we've seen talked about, whether it's with Manafort or Jared Kushner or Donald Trump Jr. It always just means lifting sanctions on Russia. And then also just lied about additional meetings with Kalimnik, like after he left the campaign around the world and things like that. So this is basically, we're looking at, you know, we're at a place where the campaign officials are sharing information with people who have known ties to Russian intelligence, which is a soft-handed way of saying they're a spy.
So wait, on the polling information, the information that they were sharing, is that, that's obviously not just, you know, the latest AP poll.
There's like public polling data and then there's internal polling data they had too.
Okay.
That they were sharing. So some was available, but others were not.
Right.
And then when you kind of, when you sort of look at that with all the facts, like where the DNC hacked information that the Russians had, if they're like looking at that side by side with this other polling data, they mentioned that like in the lead up to the final days of the campaign, like they got a little note being like, hey, you should focus on Wisconsin and Michigan.
Right.
And like those are really big states that delivered electoral college votes for Trump.
Right.
So, you know, the water gets murkier and clearer at the same time, because now you're seeing, oh, wow, like we're starting to see that here you go. Here's information you can use. Maybe you can help us with these other things. Because if you really look at the Trump Tower Moscow deal, you know, we mentioned that that would have been the single biggest real estate deal of anyone in the Trump orbit, like the biggest deal ever for them. But the only way that could happen is if they got bankrolled by some of these Russian sanctioned banks. So they had to lift sanctions in order to get funding for this tower. Like it's all very much connected in different ways to this Trump Tower deal and mega mucho money.
Right.
But then also we found out that Natalia Veselnitskaya, who was that Russian lawyer woman from the Trump Tower meeting when they're just like, oh, we're just talking about baby adoptions.
Mm-hmm.
She was indicted under a sealed indictment in December for obstructing justice in an investigation separate to Mueller's.
Right.
But one
unrelated.
In which, unrelated to that. But it was like a massive money laundering scheme where she basically lied that she was essentially a straight up representative of the Russian government.
Right.
And she's like, no, I'm just a lawyer for these people. And they're like, no, you work for the Russian government.
Right.
And you like you were able to produce documents that helped your client because you work for the Russian document. And you just told your government what you needed for this case. So that doesn't bode well for all the dumb fucks that were at the Trump Tower meeting. Be like, hey, I just thought this was some random woman who wanted to talk about adoptions.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, no, you met with a representative of the Russian government.
Yeah.
You are sending materials on to people who are a part of the Russian intelligence apparatus.
And with regards to proprietary information surrounding the all this hacking stuff, there's a huge like data leak where the Clinton campaign's demographic information and all of their like strategy around demographic stuff, mm-hmm. like the Wisconsin stuff, was basically hacked by the Russians, I think.
Yeah.
So it seems like this could have easily been a two-way street.
There are so many other things that are coming out. There's a story, we could probably talk about this later, but like where there was another Trump Tower meeting where the Saudis and Emiratis were like offering a way to use social media to help the campaign. But like the funding came through this bizarre bidding war over a fake, what some people believe is a fake Da Vinci painting that Mohammed bin Salman overpaid on by like $200 million to this Russian oligarch who was right. the owner of the painting.
So we're seeing that overpaying on shit is the hot new way to launder money in
yeah.
that circle.
That same guy who sold the fake Da Vinci, or you know, maybe it was painted by his assistant or whatever, he's the same dude who like paid double for that weird Florida property Trump had. Mm-hmm. That Trump bought for $41 million, but then sold it to this guy for $95 million in 2008
right.
when real estate has no value. Like, you know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
I love that there's probably one guy in this circle of whatever bidding who's literally like, why is everybody going so high on these items?
Yeah, like this doesn't make any sense.
It's a fake. What right. are they doing?
I was told it's only valued at $80 million. They right. started the bidding at $125.
Right. Yeah.
And that house, I really would have liked that house too. God, 95?
That seems wild.
Yeah.
So just to recap, because the president is, you know, doing his typical dropping of smoke bombs to try and distract with, I think he is now saying he's going to withhold emergency funds from California the next time there's a forest fire to get everybody to just be like,
you Trump. I think, but more people are focused on the fact that he doesn't know how to spell forest.
Right. Well, of course he doesn't.
But he spelled like Forrest Gump.
I think I need it spell check to tell me how to spell forest, so I'm sure he can't spell that shit.
Okay.
Miles,
so you're as smart
Miles, as him? You've seen how I spell shit on this doc.
No, no, you're fine. Yeah, before I like sneakily go in there, like, let me fix this one. Because I'm unable to.
I am very reliant on spell check, much like our president. But just to recap, the guy who was running his campaign,
Paul Manafort, yes.
Paul Manafort was giving proprietary information to a Russian spy, somebody who worked directly for the Russian government, was telling him to give it to one of Putin's main guys, Oleg Deripaska, while the like heat of the collusion argument is in question.
Yeah. Yeah. And also that guy, Konstantin Kalimnik, was like also high-fiving himself because he was like, yo, I got him to take out all that like anti-Russia language from the Republican platform
right.
at the RNC. Like there's so many connective things. I think if you just looked at sort of these facts, everyone goes like, well, that's not really, I mean, how do we put it all together? But when you start really putting it all together, and a lot of journalists are really starting to put like dates and things together, you're like, okay. Yeah. But, you know, again, it was a nice try by Trump to try and be like, FEMA, no money for you.
Right.
Gump all the way.
And actually, it looks like the New York Times version of this story, which we're going off of, is now issuing a correction.
Major correction.
Major.
Okay. So now they're saying that Paul Manafort wasn't offering the polling data to Oleg Deripaska, but to Ukrainian oligarchs who are Serhiy Lyovachkin.
Which everybody's going to
yeah,
know.
Yeah, of course, and Renat Akhmatov.
Yeah, Akhmatov.
I mean, that is a pretty big fuck up for the Times when you consider just sort of all the details. But I think at the same time, when you look at these two Ukrainian oligarchs, they're definitely... They were backers of Viktor Yanukovych, which means they are already Russia-aligned oligarchs.
Right.
And I think, you know, when you also still look at the information about Deripaska getting briefings, it still ties into this bigger idea that Paul Manafort was trading information for either money, because now, like, we're reading that these two oligarchs in Ukraine, he was sharing this polling data for, like, he believed that they owed him, Paul Manafort, money. And giving them this information would help him get paid ultimately.
Got it. So, and it doesn't change the fact that he, while he was heading up the Trump campaign, was giving Konstantin Kalimnik, you know, proprietary or like, you know, secret polling data that they had. So they
right.
were in contact and working together on the same goal, it would seem.
Yeah, yeah. But again, you know, well, sorry to Oleg Deripaska for that small tidbit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
that
sure
almost
he's
ruined
a great
his
guy.
Really almost sullied his reputation. Also, we learned through that filing that Paul Manafort has gout.
Gout.
Yeah. Toot. Which feels a
that
little
is
feels
so
poetic.
Wild.
To me, I always associated gout with King Henry VIII.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people do. Like, you know, like rich lifestyle, like yeah. wine and cheese and red meat. But it's also like genetic too. Like, so, you know, I think if not making fully fun going of on the, science,
yes,
yeah,
not
like,
making fun of the illness, but that was literally where my brain went the minute that.
Oh,
I found
everyone's
out.
Is like, it's the rich man's disease.
Oh,
well, and I mean, I think the conditions that bring it out, and it, like, we all might have a genetic predisposition to it, but we don't get it as much anymore because most of us are not being fed turkey legs in a, you know, bed.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Like in a horizontal position,
right,
wearing
exactly.
Like wrapped up in wild ostrich jackets.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I've been wearing ostrich jackets, right. But you know,
I shouldn't have
meat,
spoken
so.
For you.
Yeah, yeah. Could you not?
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back. Let's talk about this wall, you guys. I'm sure.
I love wall.
Yes.
it's like I love lamp.
Yeah. I just love wall, though.
So two nights ago, the president interjected himself into our nightly TV viewing.
Not for me.
Not for Miles.
I avoided it.
How'd you do that?
I watched the Lindsay Lohan Beast Club show.
Uh-huh.
And it's a fucking mess.
MTV knows where their priorities
yeah,
are.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. I may have mentally fucked myself worse by watching that than watching
oh, no.
the Oval Office thing.
Yeah.
But that is a mess, too.
So the president came on and made a kind of kinder, gentler case for his monument to racism. He was saying that this is about compassion and, you know, he's using imagery of, like, holding the hands of women and children at the border as painted the families as people he's protecting and said that he's willing to compromise with the Democrats, which none of that is really accurate. But, you know, Pelosi and Schumer then came on afterwards and seemed like they had prepared to respond to the typical Trump, which is like having an 8-minute temper tantrum. And so conservatives are saying Trump won, Dems zero, in response to like how that went. The media seems to be not as convinced, the mainstream media.
Well, everyone was like, we knew this was going to be a bunch of lies from him.
Yes.
What's the point of airing that when, like, years before they didn't want to air Obama talking about DACA? That's
right.
A whole other fucking thing.
And so let's talk about that. So this is something that presidents, you know, use their power to do every once in a while, and they almost always are given the latitude by the networks to come on and address the nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and usually it's done, I heard somebody put it that usually the president is coming on to soothe a scared nation or calm a scared nation, and this time the president was using it to scare a calm nation.
Right.
But there has been cases where the president tried to do this and the networks were like, no, that's too partisan, I guess, was their argument against Obama?
Yeah. Yes.
That's wild.
I mean, they just felt like it didn't warrant
The
nation's attention to talk about DACA.
Right.
Because this was in 2014. I think it was just, like, some local affiliates did it, but, like, on the national level, they're like, I don't know. We'll see. Mm.
Right.
But I think just because they know he's going to say some fucking wacky shit that people tune in, but like the odd part is more people watch the rebuttal than they did even the Oval Office address.
Right.
So that's got to be chapping his little diaper wearing ass.
Yeah. I mean, Barrett, it was like a 4% increase, and I'm sure it was just people tuning in late, right? Seeing it on social media and seeing that it was trending
also,
and then tuning in
although,
late.
Like, I couldn't think of two worse people to have do the rebuttal talking about immigration,
right.
Or even though they were focusing on other issues, but like, yo, put some people who, like, I think can speak with a little more passion.
Right.
Then, like, the two figureheads of the party.
Who
that was, like, one thing. I was like, okay.
Combined age of 190-something.
Yeah.
300. Yeah. They just seemed, I don't know. It wasn't a wildly effective rebuttal. That said, it was 2 minutes long, and it's not like.
Yeah, and also, rebuttal to what? You know,
right.
Anyway. Like, it's just, he was going to do his thing, just fan the flames of xenophobia, but put it under the guise of compassion.
And a lot of the conservative analysis is taking Trump's address and the Democratic rebuttal just completely on their own, completely independent of context of, you know, the fact that Trump hasn't really put himself in a position to persuade anybody who's not already a part of his base because he lies constantly. And
right.
I think people are well aware of that. So if he suddenly starts saying compassion and handholding, like, nobody's going to be persuaded by that.
And by handholding, I mean I'm holding the child in the parents' hands to break them apart.
Right.
But I'm technically holding their hands. But it's just to, you know, unlink that kidnapping children.
One of the things that people speculated he might end up doing in this address to the nation was declaring a state of emergency, which he did not do, but that was kind of in the conversation in the lead up to this address.
Right.
And that's actually really scary. There was this Atlantic article back in December talking about the insane broad powers that are granted any president by their ability to declare an emergency.
Right.
And this was actually, they wrote this before the conversation about him declaring an emergency.
For the wall?
To build the wall, yeah. But we should be really very afraid of him setting that precedent or just the fact that he now is thinking in those terms, because I've said before on this podcast that I don't think he's going out without a literal fight. Like, I think he's going to find a way to bring the office and America to new all-time lows and create some sort of constitutional crisis before he's either voted out or impeached out of office. And this article really kind of outlines in detail how he could do that. And I mean, they set up a scenario at the end of the article where Trump declares a national emergency in the lead up to the 2020 election because he's losing. And he claims to have secret intelligence that Iran is trying to hack the election in his opponent's favor. And they basically lay out like this point by point way that he could use emergency powers. And the only way that it was unbelievable was that it suggested that Trump gave a shit what people think. And like, that is has never been the case. Like, and he seems way more of like a smash and grab type person who's just going to grab as much power as he can and not give a fuck about like whether people are protesting or angry about how he's doing it.
Right.
And so basically they're just making the argument that legally a president can basically do whatever they want. We have been relying on the fact that no president to this point has been willing to just ignore other politicians and the will of the majority of the people. And that is...
Well, I mean, George Bush.
Right, George Bush. And
yeah. Thank you. Yes.
But not like... Well,
yeah,
when
in this way,
to...
he was just trying to... He just wanted a war.
Right.
And, you know, wanted to be a war criminal. But yeah. Right. I think in this sense of like the most self-serving aspect of it, not just for the military-industrial complex to get a check, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
I just hope that Trump just doesn't... I hope he gets tired of this. Like, I hope he's not having fun. Like, he wants to just, like, I'm done.
Well, it seemed like even then, like, when he told reporters about, like, him going to the border was just a photo op. And he's like, yeah, because those people think I should go. I don't think it's going to change anything. And he was, like, gesturing to Sarah Huckabee and, like, Kellyanne Conway. Like, he's mm-hmm. like, I don't want to go, but they say I have to.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if he, I'm hoping that he just does not enjoy this enough to the point where he's like, I'm done.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. There was an interesting guy, someone who was an advisor to Bush, also foresaw a scenario which Trump takes a plea deal with DOJ to resign the office and leave peacefully if he gets some kind of immunity for everything. But I just don't, I can't see, that would be, that. To think that he could take some kind of deal and walk out of here,
yeah.
I would be like,
I'm tired of any, I'm through with any argument that he like does the calm thing that we want him to do. It really is like, you know, when you're a sports fan, like I've heard Bill Simmons talk about how, like, you always want to do the thing that the opposing team's fans don't want you to do.
Right.
And, like, that's what Trump, like, you don't want to, like, push the issue or, like, you know, be, you don't want the opposing team to be super aggressive and play to their strengths. And I feel like we're always wishing slash kind of assuming that Trump is going to eventually just kind of, you know, go away quietly. And I just don't, I think we need to be prepared for that never to happen.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, but the reason he would do it is just to stay out of jail and keep all his kids out of jail.
Right.
Which is that's the thing he does absolutely fears. Because or dying?
He's definitely self-serving, which is...
Wind. Yeah. Oh, he... Also
I just
wind.
Don't
he's,
think
he fears wind.
He fears wind, he fears rain, and he fears himself going to prison and people making fun of him for his children going to prison. I don't think he really gives a shit about anybody except for him and Ivanka. Going to prison.
I know. Wouldn't that suck? You're DJ TJ.
Right.
And you're like, well, Dad. He's like, I don't know you.
Right.
Yeah. Who the fuck are you?
Yeah. And Super Producer Nick just pointed out that there's still speculation that that might have been what happened with Nixon, because Nixon was equally like
on the hook.
Power crazy. I can launch nuclear bombs if I want, like drunk in the White House type of a loose cannon throughout his presidency, and there's speculation that that's basically how they got him to go quietly was by saying, you pardon me and I'll go quietly.
Pardon me. Do you have any Grey Poupon?
Yes. So just one detail that one of our writers, J.M. McNabb, was pointing out is kind of bullshit about Trump's argument is his argument that the wall is going to stop drugs from coming into the country in any way. So basically, most drugs enter the U.S. from Mexico are through legal ports of entry. Like, they're basically in trucks and cars. And when you look at some of the drug smuggling vehicles, it's actually, like, cooler than James Bond gadgets because they just have, like, all these really clever, like, hiding spots. And there's one example where Mexican drug smugglers built a homemade submarine that was, like, the size of a small, like, sedan vehicle.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's pretty dope.
I think they're in Colombia, too. Like, that's how they, like, avoid, like, land crossings. They'll just...
Submarines?
Yeah, do the submarines, and they'll be dragged behind fishing boats.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the Coast Guard comes through, they cut the line.
Right.
And leave it there. So then but there's nothing in that boat, and they're like, we don't have anything.
Right.
And then they come back later to pick up the sub and then keep it moving.
Right.
There's it's very clever. Or that other car that was also in that article... Where you could swipe an access card, but only if the driver is in the driver's seat, the doors are closed, and the defroster is on.
Right.
And then you'll open up the secret panel.
Oh my God.
Right. And I'm guessing that you don't actually need the defroster on that often in Mexico.
No.
So that's pretty good fail-safe. Some other ways that they get drugs across are drones, bazookas, submarines, tunnels. There was one discovered just this summer that ran from a Mexican house to an abandoned KFC on the U.S. side, and which is so close to Breaking Bad. It's
right.
Amazing. But yeah, there was like a little 8-inch in diameter hole that was under one of the tiles. And because it was this like dilapidated, you know, closed down KFC.
Yeah, who's paying attention to that?
Right. Nobody was paying attention to the fact that there were people just like smuggling drugs right through there. Anyways, if he was able to put up his metal slats, which that's another way that conservatives are claiming he compromised, is by backing down from a concrete wall to metal slats.
Okay.
But yeah.
Right. Sure.
So I don't know that that is meaningful to anyone. Like it's meaningful, I guess, if you're paying attention to the blow by blow. But to the people who are tuning in, I don't think they're like, oh, well, that's a big difference.
Right. Also, it's not a solution to an actual problem. And this is just some dumb shit you did to get the base all riled up. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
It does functionally fuck all.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I mean, the key point, though, that Jan was pointing out is that in addition to the fact that, you know, when you plug one hole with, you know, drug smuggling, it just goes somewhere else.
Like
that happened with the U.S. crackdown on drug trafficking in the Caribbean. And so it just all started going through Mexico. And if you block Mexico, it's going to all start coming through another way. But he also pointed out that the Office of National Drug Control Policy, the government's drug policy division, is effectively closed down during the government shutdown, with the staff going from 80 to 3.
Oh, my God.
And also, Trump just hired the drug czar because, as we mentioned on yesterday's episode, he was horrified that he had to spend money on a transition team because he thought he just got all of Obama's people. So he had never hired a drug czar. So just the idea, he's totally fucked up the battle on
that he cares about drugs.
Yeah, the war on drugs. And he is now trying to act like that is a key part of why he wants this. And it just doesn't make sense in a ton of ways.
Right. It's like well, the drugs are the problem.
Right.
And oh, but that's also the drug control people. That's down to 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But it's still a problem.
Yeah.
But okay. I mean, look, let's just.
He just wants his wall.
Yeah. He just wants his fucking wall. And he doesn't need it. Yeah. I mean, but also, I just like when you look at also the toll it's taking on even like some of the Senate Republicans are starting to buckle a little bit. Because before they were just like, I'm not going to really come out and be like, yeah, man, we need this wall. They're just kind of like, okay, let's be quiet. Let's shut the fuck up. Let's see how it goes. And now it's like getting into what, day 20 or whatever.
Right.
That now people are like, okay, you know, like, who is it? Lisa Murkowski is starting to say stuff. And like other Republican senators trying to be like, well, maybe we can just start funding it like, you know, on an agency by agency basis.
Oh.
And, you know, because it's going to get hotter as the days go on.
Right.
But, you know, we'll see who's going to blink first.
Well, I mean, the key detail about the shutdown is that there was a bipartisan agreement
right.
on how to move forward. And Trump was on board with it until he heard from Laura Ingraham. Who was it?
Or Ann Coulter, I think.
Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, we're like, that'll be the end of his presidency if he doesn't give us our wall.
And that is the entire cause for this shutdown.
And other people point out that, like, if drugs are the issue, why do this, like, really laborious, slow-moving process of building a wall to stop it?
Yeah, yeah.
Even, none of the logic tracks, because they're just really grasping at straws because they're trying to justify something totally
The GOP
stupid.
Has always relied on the concept of the war on drugs
to
get anything that they want passed. So it's just them grasping at that one more time.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they hired a drug czar, I think, yesterday, so they spent the entire administration not having one, and having the ONDP staffed by a bunch of 20-year-olds, like 9 20-year-olds up to that point.
Who are like, I don't see the problem, man.
Yeah, he's just, you know, he's just like, oh, I guess now that I pretend I care about drugs, I have to hire this drug czar. Anyways, and by the way, he's considered cutting its budget by 95%, according to a leaked budget document, and the White House included the same cut in the 2018 budget, and Congress has just had to continually ignore it because they're like, we have a drug problem.
Right.
But anyway.
Well, taken over from Kellyanne Conway.
Right.
Who was, I think, kind of the de facto drug czar.
Right. One of her 20 jobs.
Right. Just well, because everyone had to wear, yeah.
Because hiring people is boring. Firing people's fun.
Yeah.
But hiring people, that shit's boring.
Also, hiring people means more checks you got
to
cut.
Right. And more people who you have to pay attention to who aren't you.
And the catchphrase doesn't hit as well. Like, you're hired.
Right. Yeah, well, and then I remember that was like, she got in trouble when she was like, you know, it's a will problem. It's a willpower issue with all these drug users.
Yeah. That's so, the first thing they teach you in recovery.
Yeah.
Just willpower, it's just will, guys.
What's up with you, dude?
Yeah. Why aren't you trying harder?
What the fuck? It's an illness? Okay, bro. It's a will. Dude, here's some Tony Robbins tapes.
Right.
Get, now, try and kick fentanyl.
Yeah. But
yeah, no, she said the kids should go, what was it, to reach for French fries and ice cream or
French
something.
French fries and
what?
Ice cream instead of
instead
heroin.
Instead of fentanyl or heroin.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What, had you? Are you saying, oh my God, because you just hadn't thought of it that way?
Yeah, I'm just so did, impressed with what she expanded. Said. No, yes. That's, she's, it, I lost my words.
Yeah.
They've drowned. My words have drowned in sadness.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's a daily occurrence here.
We have succeeded. For this episode, whenever that happens, we should have like a little siren where, anyways.
Yep, there you go. Drowned in silence.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back, and civil rights hero Angela Davis is back as well. She got a humanitarian award from, was it the state of Alabama?
No, it was a civil rights group in Birmingham.
Okay. So yeah, good for her. And wait, what's this? It has been revoked because she does not think Israel should be able to steamroll Palestine.
Yeah. I mean, like they said, it was for her, quote, long-term support of justice for Palestine.
Yeah. So
okay. Civil rights, identifying a population that is being systematically torn apart by an oppressive regime for no real justifiable reason, is getting her humanitarian award taken back because they got pressure from outside groups to be like, oh, I don't know about this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the whole, you know, BDS, boycott, divest, sanction movement has just become a bigger and bigger deal recently because, like, there were people, like, who is that woman? I think she was Palestinian in, like, Texas or something. She was, like, an occupational therapist or something, or, like, a teacher. Like, she was going to lose her job because they're like, what do you mean you boycotting Israel? Like, what do you mean? Like, what does that have to do with my job?
Yeah, they just, it's basically an argument over trying to define BDS, people who support, you know, boycotting, sanctioning, and what was the other one?
Divesting. Yeah.
Boycotting, divesting, and sanctioning Israel as an anti-Semitic perspective to have.
It's just, I don't understand how we're still kind of here on this thing of, like, we're trying to point to this mistreatment that is being undertaken by the Israeli government as something to do with being against the religion of Judaism.
Right.
Where it's like, no, we're looking at the victims of your policy who are unfairly treated, and people are calling that out.
Right. And it's a very conservative, like the thing that is being objected to is a very conservative Israeli perspective. There's a lot of people in Israel who are also, you know, against the settlements.
Yeah. It bled over to, you know, like the Senate, because like one of the first bills that was introduced, I think, was like Marco Rubio and fucking Joe Manchin.
Right.
They put a bill forward. Like the first order of business in the Senate was to like to protect people who were like anti-BDS.
To protect people.
Essentially saying that states could like not work with companies that were boycotting Israel.
Huh.
Like that could be their right. And like a lot of people like Bernie Sanders and Rashida Tlaib were like, yo, what the fuck? Like,
right.
Y'all aren't doing shit right now with the shutdown, and the first bill you want to offer up is some weird distraction about BDS, like BDS stuff, when everyone, there's already all this talk, like people are suing over this because like this is like a violation of people's First Amendment rights. Like if they want to boycott something, that's their prerogative to do so.
Right.
But then, you know, Marco Rubio got in his bag and was like, well, you know, it was just a distraction.
Yeah.
And it's mind-blowing that Angela Davis, who is like a very prominent civil rights leader, is being reprimanded.
Right.
For basically standing up for people's civil rights.
Right. At the very least, it is an acceptable form of protest to, you know, support BDS, and the idea that you would be preventing that by claiming anti-Semitism seems aggressive, and like it's taking, like it's doing the thing that people are always on the right are always claiming the left is doing, which is preventing people from having an open and honest debate.
Right.
This seems like it's actually doing that. Let's talk about cheese.
Yeah, let's move on to some. Yeah.
Parmesan
cheeses. I'm relating to my. What?
You know how we like to pivot off of boycotting, divesting Israel into the cheese surplus that the nation is facing. The unused cheese we have in this country has reached $1.4 billion worth of cheese that is just kicking it, waiting for people to consume it.
Cheese.
And. Like if you did the math, they're saying like it could basically cover the entire Capitol building if you used it as like wallpaper. Like you could just entirely drape the Capitol building in D.C. with cheese. That's how much cheese we're talking about.
Are we talking about blocks of cheese? Are we talking about Kraft singles?
Well, however you want to cut it down. I mean, just based off the weight, depending on how you slice it up, cut it up.
Is Velveeta included in this?
Well, it's mostly processed cheeses. And a lot of the thing is that the reason the surplus is high is because the dairy industry has just like been in hyperdrive despite them ignoring, like everyone's like, we don't really fuck with milk that much anymore.
Right.
And a lot of like the fake ass cheese you make with the milk byproducts, people don't like processed cheese anymore either.
Right.
People like fancy millennials and shit, and worldly people are like, I prefer, you know, like a Manchego. or like some other like
so all of
European
other
cheese.
Cheeses now.
Like, yeah, like real cheese made from like, you know, like just cheese, not like our Kraft singles and stuff like that.
Yeah. The last time we had a huge cheese surplus in the early 80s following like the invention of skim milk when the dairy industry was just like, what the fuck do we do with all this extra fat? Let's turn it into cheese. They stored it in a cave in Missouri, I think, and just waited for a strategy to come along where they could like offload that. And they ended up offloading it into our veins via fast food because like they basically started snack cutting deals in. With massive like corporations to just add tons and tons of cheese.
Yeah. Well, the trade wars aren't helping either.
Right.
Because like exports to China are down like 63%.
Right.
And then to Mexico, it's like 10%. So, you know, there's a lot of cheese chilling.
Yeah.
A lot of fart-inducing cheese.
Isn't going cheese. Anywhere.
Yeah. Well, that processed shit, I mean, come on, man. Like, we're past that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all about fine cheeses. Fromageries, I like to go to now.
One of my favorite fast food restaurants, Domino's, one of the ways that they rebuilt their pizza and made it good was, like, tripling the amount of cheese.
Right.
Yeah.
And shit. Then sprinkle a little bit on the crust.
Right.
You know?
It works.
Oh, but a little factoid. The average American, 2017, ate 37 pounds of cheese.
Oh, is that all? Okay. Well, we could.
No, can you think about that?
37
Imagine
pounds.
A 37-pound block of cheese and being like, if it got dropped off to us today, like, you know, by the end of the year, you're eating this whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense when you put it on like,
I eat a lot of cheese, man. I eat a lot of cheese.
Do you eat cheese every day?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. In one form or another. For sure.
Oh, yeah. When I think about it, I did not eat a lot of cheese in Japan, but I think since coming back, there's been cheese on damn near everything I ate.
Yeah. When my in-laws are in town and we're eating nothing but Korean, I stop eating cheese and start craving the shit out of it. Like,
that's really
how I know I have a problem.
Right. It's, oh, really?
It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Just give me a block of cheddar, man.
Give me that 37-pound. Let me get a key of American processed cheese.
Right.
Yeah, Anna just pointed out, you know, we should give these people who are fighting drug addictions just cheese.
Oh.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah. Put down the H and pick up the...
Che.
Whatever. Yeah. The cheddar.
Cheddar.
And finally, in other important
world
news.
Yeah.
World news.
Yes, world news.
See, don't act like we don't talk about hard-hitting international stories, guys.
Yeah, because we don't.
A restaurant in Paris has closed because it wasn't getting enough customers. The end.
Yeah.
No, this is a nudist restaurant, which I wasn't even aware. Apparently, this made a splash a couple years ago when it opened, but it was not a success.
Well, it was only open for 15 months.
Okay.
And it was called Au Naturel.
Oh, yeah.
In Paris.
That seems like an Irish place.
Yeah. Au Naturals? where it offered diners the experience of eating butt naked, like in a restaurant, because, yeah, how could that not be a market of consumers you're trying to hit? But, yeah, they had to shutter. And it wasn't, I don't think, because the food was bad, because a lot of the reviews were, like, pretty high. So
yeah.
The food was good. I think, based on the photos I saw, and I don't know if this is true, it looked like cloth seats.
Really?
And if I'm thinking of just a bunch of butt naked people, the last thing I want to think about is like the last person to sit on that thing.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Just like a.
But they couldn't, yeah. Like, I imagine they wouldn't put plastic over it because imagine sitting butt naked on the plastic and then having to get up and it going.
And then you just like, yeah, you just sous vide your asshole.
Right.
With like, because you're sitting on some weird steaming tray. Like, yeah, or what? You put down like the little bib they give you at the dentist on each chair. Then that makes you feel
that
even
would
grosser.
Stick to your butt?
Yeah. What do you do? How do you win?
Right.
Leather?
Wrap it. I don't know.
And then you Lysol the shit out of it?
I think their thinking when they opened this restaurant was sex sells. And the reality of this restaurant is, how would you like to eat in a locker room? It's
right.
Like essentially like, yeah, just random, strange, naked people.
Because like, what would it be like in the summer?
Gross.
You know what I mean? People coming hot off the fucking street.
Yeah.
And I've never been to Paris. What's it like in the summers?
It's hot.
It's hot?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can anyone else?
I've never been to Paris in the summer.
Hot? Hey, Nick, can you chime in on this? All
right,
so super producer Nick Stumpf.
Oh, you didn't believe me?
He's married to a French person.
Uh-huh. All right.
I'll ask you about New Jersey.
I went to Paris in July, like 3 years ago, but that's cool. You'll ask me about New Jersey. Fuck you, man. No big deal.
Yo, no, but yeah, that's what I mean. Like hot summer nude people, because like if you've been in any city that gets hot in the summer, you know everybody has different hygiene regimens.
Yes.
So and then like
Paris is no different. You know, I think there's like a hacky stand-up thing like, French people don't wash or whatever.
Right.
And I think they just have more of an appreciation for our natural musks.
Yeah.
But still, that is going to leave a impression on a cloth seat.
Right. But the whole, it was interesting, the way you went to the restaurant, there was just a white sheet, so you couldn't see him from the street, obviously, because it's not meant to be a glass menagerie for people to look into. But then, like, they would give you slippers to walk around in. And if you're a lady, you could keep your heels on.
So it's like you have to keep your heels on?
Well, you had the option.
You had the option.
Is weird. Like, why can't dudes rock their weird, shitty shoes? I think, again, it's because it's the sex thing.
They're shitty European sneakers.
Yeah. Never like Adidas.
Yeah.
Puma.
It just doesn't feel very sexy to, like, for me, it's like to eat naked.
Well, for, you know, for the nudist community who aren't, it's not about sex for them. It's just about just being like, yo, I want to be free and natural.
All natural.
Right.
Yeah.
But is the nudist community, are nudist colonies overflowing with demand to the point that they're like, we got to bring this mainstream, guys, because these,
right.
We can't contain the demand for nudist colonies.
Also, I bet nudist colonies have a good snack.
Yeah, I bet they're fine.
Their own on-site restaurant.
Yeah.
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 Which is like on wooden benches.
Right.
You know what I mean? That are like properly sealed and weather coated.
And cleaned on a regular
basis.
Yeah,
it can just be jet washed.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just couldn't get over the cloth seats. I was like, you know, that's fine. It's just the seating I'm worried about.
Yes.
Because who knows what kind of booty juice is soaked into those cushions.
That's so gross.
I'm sorry. That's what I'm thinking as a consumer.
No, it's what you should be thinking. It's just gross. It's not what they should have been thinking. They should have had plastic.
But, you know, shout out to Au Naturel.
Yes.
You were taken from
Rest
us too
peace.
Soon.
All right. Well, Carmen, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank
as
you for
always.
Having me.
Where can people find you?
Well, I left Facebook, so don't try there.
No. What?
My Facebook.
I thought you were just ghosting me.
No. I mean, I ghosted everyone in a way.
Yeah.
But I am on Insta and Twitter at Carmesan Cheeses.
You like cheese, huh?
I put it in my name. I put it in my handle. I legally changed my name. So yeah, I guess you could say I'm a fan of cheese.
Do you get the urge to eat it like Jack does if you don't have it in a long time?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. So you're not really
Everybody
about that life.
Just...
I just pose. I'm a poser online. I pose as a Parmesan cheese.
And is there a tweet that you've been enjoying?
I guess I could say, in my opinion, Teresa Lee has perhaps my favorite tweets. Like
she's great.
She generally, anything she tweets, I'm like, ah, you spoke my heart.
Mm.
In comedy.
Larissa T on Twitter.
Larissa T.
Mm-hmm.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like is from at Daily Zeitgeist, because in San Francisco, we tweeted that we will be doing a live show at San Francisco Sketch Fest on Saturday, January 19th at the Punchline Comedy Club at 11:30. So it's going to be the nice late show. We're going to get down and dirty and, you know, just real sweaty in there. And it's going to be a great live show. So if you guys are in the area, the Bay Area, the Yay Area, please come by, support us, because we would love to see you.
Yeah. First of all, do that. you can get the tickets at Live Nation or sfsketchfest.com or, you know, all the places. And a tweet I've been enjoying, retweeted by super producer Anna Hosni. I originally tweeted by Matt Rainone in response to. So the AP did a fact check two nights ago on the Democratic response to the president's speech. They said, AP fact check. Democrats put the blame for the shutdown on Trump, but it takes two to tango. Trump's demand for $5.7 billion for his border wall is one reason for the budget impasse. The Democrats' refusal to approve the money is another. And Matt Rainone tweeted, my wife put the blame for the unfolded laundry on me, but it takes two to tango. Me forgetting to fold the laundry is one reason, but her going into that room when I explicitly said, hey, don't go in there yet, and noticing the unfolded laundry is the other. So, yeah, in your face,
fair and balanced,
Democrats,
y'all.
The both sides-ism, fuck off, AP, fuck off all of you with the both sides-ism. The NPR's podcast was doing some of that shit today.
Really?
It's just like, yeah, they just always like want to make it, they don't feel okay unless they're being like, But on the other hand, Democrats really blew it with it, which Democrats did, but it just feels like they always, like, they feel like they need to do that. And it's right. Just like that we're not in ordinary times. In ordinary times, fine, but we are under a fucking terrifying regime. All right, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can come see me in San Francisco with Miles on the 19th.
Yep.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what song are we going to ride out on?
You know, just because we should talk about science, you know, facts, what's real, what is not. This is from the Heliocentrics, because we can agree. Well, most of us can agree that we are in a heliocentric solar system.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And well, universe. The and whole universe. Universe travels around our sun. And anybody who says otherwise is crazy.
Around my sun.
Right.
Everything revolves around my sun. And this is called Space Time Girl. You know, just a good track. Some good funky players on here. You know, just to get us through this week. As I like to say, pretty much every day for every song. But yeah, Heliocentrics, Space Time Girl.
Ahead of this, I'm picturing like a, you're my honey pie, sugar, baby, but ooh, like talking about space time.
Right,
right. Is that what it is?
No, not at all.
Damn it.
A little fun fact, when I first started playing bass, that was one of the first bass lines I really tried to master.
Yeah, it's one of the best. It's of the classics. Yeah.
Yo, when you really get it going, don't, and you're by yourself. Yeah, because you're doing a little chord picking right there.
It's Another One Bites the Dust, and then that are the two greatest bass lines. And Billie Jean. All right, well, we are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye. Something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get, but with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.